stores. They're to see a lot of people running the restaurants.
We're on. Okay. We will call to order the let me get my agenda. The Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:45 on the clock. We will start out by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I can a little bit.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Terry, do you need this?
Got it.
Now that I saw Lisa, I remember she's using pictometry and she's like,
oh, okay.
Good thing you told us while you were thinking about it.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. The chairman declares the 2017 session formally closed. Sign and die.
Okay. This is where I will take nominations for chairman of the board. So are there any nominations for chairman? Juergens?
I would like to nominate Myron Dorn for chairman of the Gage County Board of Supervisors.
Second.
Now my time to talk or not?
Denny seconded it, so go ahead and talk.
I can't think of anybody on this board that works half as hard as Myron Dorn does as chairman. He's an excellent chairman and will continue to be so. One question I do have for Myron, though: do you have a suit? Do you own a suit?
I know you've never seen me in one. Yes, I do.
Okay, you're going to need it.
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm training him on.
Okay, are there any other nominations for chairman? Any other nominations for chairman? Okay, so I would entertain a motion for unanimous ballot to be cast for Mr. Dorn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Tiemann. Unanimous ballot. Okay. Everyone ready to vote? All in favor? Vote. 6-0. Motion carries. So, Mr. Dorn, you are the chairman.
Well, thank you.
Okay,
I think
so you can do the vice.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Myron.
Yeah.
You're the winner.
Yeah, the winner. And stuff. So, thank you much for your confidence. Next, we will need to elect a vice chairman. I'll entertain motions for or nominations for vice chairman.
I would nominate Gary Lytle.
Second.
We have a nomination of Gary Lytle and a second. Any other nominations? Then we will do like Don did. We'll entertain a motion to vote by unanimous ballot.
So moved.
Gary. Motion by Tiemann and second by Byers.
Cast unanimous ballot for Gary Lytle.
Okay. Yep, vote. 6-0 in favor. Okay. Thank you. Consent agenda. One is a general agenda. Two is approved minutes of the meeting held December 20th, 2017. Approve all claims through January 3rd, 2018 in the amount of $763,622.08. Except claim number 1801039 in the amount of $720 and number 1801017 in the amount of $129.34. Johnny's Welding to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve allowing individuals to place bids for miscellaneous items remaining in the house located at 609 Washington. Approve calling for bids on house located at 609 Washington Street. Bids to be opened on January 31st, 2018 at 9:15 a.m., and that's bids to remove the house.
Yeah. Well, the miscellaneous items, and then that's the first one, the house for the second one.
Approved bank deposits for Security First Bank, Adams State Bank, State Bank of Hell, First State Bank, Pinnacle Bank, Main Street Bank, First National Bank of Omaha, State Farm Bank, NPAIT, Bank of the West, and U.S. Bank. Approve appointing Patty Milligan to prepare a levy request.
You missed Gray Western.
You didn't put Gray Western on there.
Oh, Don crossed it out in here. Sorry. On mine.
Lori said she got off on her line, so that should be stricken.
Oh. Sorry, the Great Western Bank should be crossed out. Oh,
okay.
I should have mentioned that.
Sorry, and I didn't get that. That came out.
No, in mine it was crossed out here.
Okay.
That's why I didn't mention it. Then number 8 was approve Patty Milligan to prepare a levy request. Approve appointing Don Hill to prepare the county budget. 10, approve designation of official county newspapers. 11, approve designating Gage County website as an official method of providing notice of any public meeting notices, and that's www.gagecountynebraska.us. Number 12 is approve Don Hill as a NERMA contact person. 13, approve Galen Engel as Gage County Highway Superintendent for 2018. 14, approve moving Board of Supervisors meeting normally scheduled for July 4, 2018 to July 3rd due to Independence Day holiday falling on a Wednesday. July 4th is a Wednesday, so this is the official notice that will be moved up one day. 15, approve canceling check number 17120134 to Jerry Sheldon, attorney, in the amount of $820.18 due to incorrect amount. Any additions or corrections or comments?
The papers for the Gage County
newspapers.
Those are the three. Would be Wymore,
Beatrice, Daily Sun, Arbor State, and Voice News.
Same as last year.
No one's given me. If you guys want to do something different, that's what it was last time. And the percentages stayed the same, unless there's a change today.
Move to approve consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Byers. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 18010039 in the amount of $720 and 18010177 in the amount of $129.34 to Johnny's Welding. This brings total of claims approved through January 3rd to $764,471.42.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Hill, and vote. 5 in favor with Churgums abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Nothing unusual, getting things done in the courthouse on security, and the everything's going well. Roger's been working on the bus stop and getting that about to close on that here, and he might have a little something he wants to say on that, but other than that, we're doing good. Had tremendous comments on our winter lights, and the courthouse being just absolutely beautiful again, and so had very, very positive.
I will make a comment concerning the bus stop. I did visit with an individual up there from Yandy Equipment. He will be coming down next week sometime once we have the keys. I told him we didn't have the keys yet, and we didn't really take over here till 4th or the 5th. And he will be getting a hold of us next week and coming down. And what he's going to look at, he's going to look at everything over there, the functions of it. And if we're able to take those pumps and come up with 20 cards that the county could use and use just a loan on those and the cost of using those for, say, our sheriff's department, he's also going to come up with pricing or what it would cost us to basically mothball them or take them out or just leave them there and not do nothing. He's going to by our next board meeting, he will have that type of information for us so we can compare some cost and if there's anything needs to be updated. And somewhat, I told him, somewhat of an idea of an ongoing yearly cost if we decided to maintain them and run them and everything. So
that's good.
He's coming down next week and he said I forgot to tell him that I see next time our mini meetings are on Friday again, but he will have that stuff for sure by our next meeting on our next board meeting on the 17th, he said. We'll just see when he's able to come down and what he's able to come up with. So, and then the closing?
Basically, as soon as I get a check from the clerk, I will notify Mr. Nelson. We've got the closing documents all prepared. And he was getting the deed signed, so as soon as we get the check, I'll contact Mr. Nelson. We'll do an official closing, and I'll deliver the keys.
You want to have it later today?
Okay, very good. So, I'll notify Don the minute the closing goes, so we can notify the insurance company that we now own that property.
Myron?
Yep.
Also for grounds, it has come to our attention that the town of Rockford, there were some platted streets that may have never been vacated, and they were never developed. Going to be looking into what we can do to, if there are any existing streets that are not at all used or developed, we're going to vacate them by some process, and we'll be working with the various departments in the county and contacting people, the adjacent landowners, to work through this process. Hopefully have it done in a couple of months.
I know I've talked with Galen, and we've got some preliminary issues. Also, there was a local attorney that was working with that, and we've talked to him a couple of times. As usual, the simplest way is we can't do. It's going to take a little more doing.
Right. And it appears there's four or five other streets in that town that were platted and just never, ever developed.
Yeah, open.
Yeah, and so there's basically what they are. They're still out there and on the books yet, and to not have them there anymore and allow the landowners or the property owners beside them to use them or have control of those or whatever, we'll have to go through a process and stuff. And we had some discussion at our committee meetings, and John brought a map along and everything and looked at that, and there was an individual here from the township board and everything, so starting that process a little bit, so hopefully we can get that moved through and take care of some of those streets in Rockford so that they're still not officially platted or whatever. So
get them off the books.
Good. Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance or insurance?
The major bills are Department of Correction Services, $13,186, inmate boarding and medical. Washington County Sheriff, $28,360, boarding inmates. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $20,194.08. Manelli Wagner and Associates Engineering Consulting, $22,630.88. Explanation on that one. This is engineering work that Manelli's firm has done for us for future projects. Some come to mind are the state match program, those type of projects, and large structures that are planned to be taken out and replaced, as we've done in the past. Adams Community Foundation, $10,000 improvements for a playground. Engage Economic Development Funding, $37,500. Nelson Clark Team and Trust Account, real estate purchase at 620 North 6th Street, which is the bus stop, for $241,563.75.
And there was a down payment, I believe, of $10,000 earlier. Yes. And the reason that's a little bit over $250,000 then is the closing cost and that
filing insurance and filing fees.
Filing fees. So that's why that got to come up to a little bit more than that. So, anything else for finance or insurance? If not, well, I wondered why Walker was here. Now I know why, that there's a claim come through. No, I'm teasing. We do have a timed event at 9 o'clock, so we are about a minute away from that. We have a veteran's honor again this morning and stuff, so we will wait until our clock, just in case somebody's else is planning on coming. We wait till 9 o'clock here in a little bit, and we'll start our timed event. So, and it is 9 o'clock on the clock, and we do have a timed event on our agenda, and it's a veteran's honor for Roland Red Timmerman. Is that right? And Phil couldn't be here today, but he did drop off some paperwork. And if you don't mind, I'll read that through that for a little bit. Red was in the Air Force. He attained the rank of Airman First Class. His term or duty of his service was from, he went in April 11th of 1951, and he was discharged on January 20th of 1955. His awards were the Korean Service Medal, the National Defense Service Medal, the United Nations Service Medal, and the Good Conduct Medal. He served with Headquarters Squadron 30th Air Division during that time. And at this time, Roland, if you'd like to, you're sure more than welcome to come up and make a few comments.
For me to be here. Thank you. You intelligent people, you are great. I was pleased to serve. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, Roland, we have something for you. Oh, from the county board here, just a minute.
Roland, on behalf of the county board and Gage County, I would like to present you this certificate of appreciation, a small token of our appreciation.
Wow.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
If someone else would like to make a few comments, you're sure more than welcome. Roland, you don't need to thank us. We thank you for your time of service and all that you've done for our country. And I know we've had quite a few Korean War veterans here, and some of their stories and what they went through has been pretty amazing and stuff. So we really appreciate what you've done, and we thank you very much, and we're extremely glad to honor you. Thank you.
Thank you. I see a gentleman from World War II.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, but I was here a little while ago, what, a month ago?
Yes.
I'm going to give him a medal of my journey.
And you're using the term gentleman very loosely.
I won't comment.
Okay, all right. We'll just discuss it later, Red.
Thank you very much, Red. Back to our agenda, human resources and employees relations. John?
I guess the only thing we're working on is the FOP negotiations. Continue to work on those.
Yep. Continue to meet on those. We have another meeting scheduled for next week. Law enforcement, emergency management. Yes, or Lisa, whoever wants to start out here and stuff. So.
Sounds good. I'm just going to bring you kind of up to date. I'm going to include a little bit of zoning in there also, just because we merged those departments. I gave you a sheet, or I gave it to Don, but we did review all the towers out in the area to address some of that southern issue. And since the report last committee member meeting on Wednesday, I did reach out to American Tower, which is the tower that's directly north of Family Dollar. It's a rental procedure. You know, again, you're looking at that $15,000 to $20,000 for rental for a year rental. It's available, you know, the 200-foot area is available, but still pretty pricey. How we left it at the committee meeting was that Doug was going to continue to reach out in terms of the mapping. And the Horvath, we found that that particular community, that tower, is available at 170 feet. So he's going to be doing that mapping on the repeating and then the repeat back. In fact, I just got an email from him, but I'll have it reviewed through committee first, and then you guys can take a look at that. At the time that I reached out to the committee, I did receive a call out of the blue from Clearview Tower, and they had heard through press that we had a tower that we had some problems with. I sent the inspection to them, and my list includes, I did receive an email from him yesterday, and it's simple, after the review of the report, it appears that the tower needs to be decommissioned. We can do it. They can replace the tower. What he would like to do is to work out a lease agreement with the county, and at their expense, they take the tower down. They put a new tower up, and then the county would lease the tower back from Clearview. So if we're if we want to talk, we can set up a conference call and that sort of thing. So I'll just wait for some direction from this board or from committee chairs, and it certainly probably doesn't hurt to see what they have to say. But yeah, so we're moving forward. We're trying to get you the information that you need so that you can respectfully, you know, make those decisions to address that area. Terry,
Lisa, yes. On that Blue Springs Tower, what is the height of that one?
Blue Springs Tower is 378 feet. And, again, the up 185 feet, those strobe lights, the white strobe lights, they are working. The rest of the tower is not. So, and it's been determined that the panel inside that particular building, the light panel, was what was also hit during the June storm, too. Yep. So, but a lot of the things that we're talking about in the expenses and what we can salvage from one tower equipment can be used out of that particular tower, out of the base, and then moved separate. So it has also been determined that Philly, to fix Philly, it's not going to be a problem. It wouldn't cost anything. It's just a matter of changing the frequency, and they could operate off of the Beatrice Tower or the Pickerel Tower. So that's not an issue, having to add that repeater in there. So going on to 911, any other questions on that tower? We'll come back with more information.
Lisa,
yeah.
I think we just as well go ahead, and if they're willing to work up numbers, just as well they go ahead and give us rough numbers on a lease. On what type of what height of tower they're thinking about, and lease terms that they.
Okay.
Just a rough. It doesn't have to be down to the gnat's rear end, because okay. We're going to know really quickly what their numbers. Either there's something we're interested in or not. It's going to be pretty easy to figure out.
Just keep in mind too, the people that have said it could be repaired before, we're not people that were trying to sell us a tower.
Right.
And each time that it's a tower sales company,
right.
Our tower is always bad, but they can sell us a new one.
Yeah, and just keep in mind, that's under Blue Springs Wymore jurisdiction, so that working relationship, you know, it sits on their ground. So I'm not sure what kind of MOU you have on file. I've not seen that or anything. But if you could save the cost of the decommissioning, you know, you could be looking at close to $60,000 if it was done right. So,
a couple pickups and a tow rope. I would cost that much.
Yeah, I would agree.
Right, a tower removal.
Yeah,
I'll drive.
I think too.
Okay.
I agree with Gary. Let's.
And so, if I could also ask, maybe a commission or you could sit in on that conference call, maybe, and we could set up a conference call if you want.
I don't know that they need to have a conference call. They just need to work numbers up and give them to us.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. I'll get back with him today. So that
basically
would be fine.
Yeah, you know, see what they, you know, we're going to need a similar size tower there. It's not like you're going to take so much off of it or whatever. And
I think, Lisa, you guys also have kind of been looking at a different route where we may be able to get by without a tower, and it's looking more promising all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you have to study all your options. I mean, your important part that you've expressed is getting safety to and service to everybody. So I think I'll just keep researching the facts and then present the information to you. But Doug should be down here the next meeting, or he'll at least be at the committee meeting. He'll have things. He's putting together costs. I went back down there yesterday to Horvath. Filmed all the existing equipment that's on the ground on the piece of real estate now. So they know what's there, and so they'll be able to put some costs. Again, that particular tower has AT&T and also Verizon on it. So it's in a prime location. There's a reason why they're on that tower, too, because of location. So you can compare those maps then, too.
That's why I said that it, if they go ahead and just work up a rough number for us for a 300-foot tower or a 400-foot tower, we're going to know right away. Because if we're going to talk about a big lease number, we know we're not interested, because other option is going to be the better option at that point. That's the only reason my thought is we go ahead and get them, give us a rough number.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. anything else on the tower. We'll bring you up to date at committee next time. The next thing I just handed out to some of you, GEOCOM is in the process of updating the overlay maps for 911 addressing. So it appears that there are some driveways, some roads that have been extended that aren't named within the system. And so within your jurisdictions right now, I've given you, I've got like 30 miles, probably of questionable areas that I need some answers for. And I just got it yesterday, so I thought I would share that with you. So if you're down in your districts, you could look at that, you know, too. But we just need to make sure that when the overlay is done, that dispatch knows exactly, you know, where that service call needs to go. And if the driveway has in fact been extended, is it got a name on it? So that way 911 services know where they need to go. And most importantly, delivery people and things like that too are very vital in this.
I would think I would recommend that you sit down with Galen and the sheriff, the three of you sit down and you go over those roads and get them named, and you can do it together.
We would do that.
And get it appropriate.
We'll do that. I will get them a map, set of maps. I have an extra one here, so they'll know, too. And then we'll get that on the GEOCOM system. Going on zoning, just briefly, yesterday I actually met with Walker. We're working on that comp plan, you know, trying to come up with some generalization. And Walker came in, and we reviewed the northern part of the county where the commission has really struggled with, are we doing the right thing? Is everything within the comp plan as we renew that? And so we're getting those suggestions to Hannah Keelan. You know, through just getting another set of eyes, looking on the maps and so forth, it appears at this particular time that, you know, our zoning regulations are working. You know, we have a process in mind. Didn't really change the map itself, but again, we'll review it some more. We'll take it back to the commission, but it was good that we addressed how Gage County addresses economical development also in the county and how we move forward. So with that, that's all I got.
One comment only.
All right.
A gentleman came to me and said he got a building permit from you, and he says, very, very easy and quality of work done promptly. And he was tickled to death. So,
okay. All right. Thanks.
I know, like on my map too, I'll come down and visit with you because some of them
do.
When you lived in the area for a long time, you know that they're a driveway or whatever.
Yeah.
And why? And I guess that brings up a question: does a driveway, if somebody puts in for whatever reason a long driveway, does it need to be named?
Not necessarily. They just need to know that it's a driveway assigned to that particular piece of real estate.
Oh, okay.
And what people are doing now, because of the zoning and the process that we have in place, a lot of people will buy a piece of real estate. They'll actually want their driveway, and they want a 911 address there right away. And it must be something within the loan system also where they're asking.
It is, yeah.
And do you have a physical address for that? So I think we may be seeing more of that. Even though we see a driveway, we don't see a piece of, you know, a home.
Well, and I believe one of those public hearings we had, I think the one, I can't remember which one, said that they had to have a 911 address before they could get their loan.
Well, a VRO. We just finished that one up. So
you can take care of addresses, though?
Oh, yeah. That's no problem.
See, when I built a house, I think I had four different addresses before I ended up with my the address I landed on. So
they wanted to know which one you were going to stay at.
That's called flex planning.
There was four.
Still questionable. That's still questionable.
Four different names for the same spot.
Yeah. If you're driving throughout the county, I would just urge you to write that down, or either get the longitude and latitude of that area, and then we can address it and send it in to them. So.
I'm surprised that comment didn't come from John. I really am.
Happy New Year.
Okay. Anything else for... Oh, we've got Sheriff here, yes. Law enforcement.
We didn't have a lot. I didn't get here last Monday because I planned on being on the road for prisoners and had a rash of employees get sick and couldn't get here. So... pretty quiet weekend. We didn't have any major accidents, any fatalities. That's always a good thing on that weekend. Jail numbers, I think we have 21 in and 15 out as of this morning. So we're trying to work with Dave and get the painter come in once in a while to do a cell or two here and there before it spikes and we get him back up again. So otherwise, it's moving along pretty well. So I bet.
And we are still waiting on the contractor to get with Dave, and he's been busy and out of town, and so Fakler is supposed to be working with him on some of the changes we need to make. But.
Anything else for law enforcement? If not, Road and Bridge.
Yes, Myron. Galen has the worksheets and sales agreements with CAT for the two graders. One had amounted to $182,800, the other $180,000. Total of $362,800 will pay when delivered. Galen started working on the 1 and 6 year plan, which will be here before you know it again for next year. So as he has stated, as if there's any concerns from everybody, go ahead and talk to Galen. We've discussed putting on the agenda to approve specs for fuel bids. Approve the specs on January 31st and open bids on February 28th. Galen said the amounts to, I think it was about $60,000 worth of diesel and about $30,000 worth of gas is what was approximately used last year. And had discussions on the roads in Rockford. And that's basically about it.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? If not, next item on the agenda is approve or disapprove resolution setting salaries of elected officials of Gage County for a 4-year term beginning 2019. That is when the term, anybody that's up for election during this coming year, that's when the term would start, and that's what we'll be setting the salaries for those different ones. We do have a resolution, I think, in front of everybody that's something for everyone to look at and part of the discussion. We did at committee meetings have a little bit of talk about the salaries, and for coming forward with and presenting this, this came out of committee, and these are the numbers, this resolution in front of you, that it's the county fairly close to what NACO is recommending. The midpoint. NACO's midpoint, what they're, well, it's also what they're recommending, the midpoint be. And the county treasurer, the county clerk, county assessor, registrar of deeds, and the clerk of the district court, their pay are all the same amount there. This resolution that's come forward here, the first year is a proposal for a 6.5% increase in 3% increase in the 3 years after that. The same way with the county sheriff and the county attorney, their pays are set at a different amount. We also, coming out of committee, this is the way the resolution came forward with, was also for the board of supervisor and the county surveyor are on there. On the third page there, it's listed each of the deputies, and those are set at by a board resolution several years ago, the deputy of each of those offices, the deputy county attorney and the deputy sheriff are at 80%. The others are at 75%. So the deputy in those offices, that is where their salary is set at. And that, like I said, is based off of a resolution out of the board several years ago, those percentages. And they were adjusted, I think, last time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
4 years ago.
4 years ago. It also lists in here some other different things. For example, that reading this, that the county clerk will serve as the county election commissioner, and it lists a dollar value in there, what that will be for that position, for that office. And it does list in here another place that the levy-making authority. And I believe we made that, approved that in the consent agenda today, and it lists that amount in there, and then also the budget-making authority. Those three things are also included. Separate additional dollar amounts, that one's for a little over $3,000. The election one's $6,231. And I believe the other one was for $751.
I think everything, the wording, everything was the same, just the updating of the dollar amounts, what we used for the resolution for four years ago.
This resolution was the one that was 4 years ago. The updated parts in there are the salaries that everyone has. Terry.
Myron, in our discussions Friday on this, we looked at the array of counties that we're in with, and I guess at first glance it was fairly obvious that, Gage County officials were below the median, you know. We came up with this, what we felt was a good solution to get closer to the median, whatever you want to call it, to make them comparable, and this is the reason, I think it was 6.5 like you said, and then 3, 3, 3 was the amounts that we decided on for discussion today.
3% each year?
After the first year.
After the first year. The first year was 6.5%. Those numbers there that you see on that front page, that's what those numbers equate to, is the first year. This resolution is, those numbers are at 6.5% increase the first year, then a 3%, 3%, and 3%.
I was just going to say the dollar amount for the clerk, assessor, treasurer, equates to, if you use 2,080 hours, that first year would be a $1.84 increase. And then each year after that, it's 91 cents, 93 cents, or 96 cents. And then it goes up a little bit for the sheriff and the attorney. $3.76 an hour and $2.29 an hour. So if you look at it in dollar amounts, that would be the increase for a 2,080 hour. Is what we use for all employees' hours calculating there.
Don, question for you. You know, I looked through the array of counties that we looked at, and I see different counties where not every office is getting the same amount, not every elected official is getting the same amount. Why is it that like Gage County and some other counties do that, or Why aren't they separated from each other?
I can't answer that.
You know, because as I look at some of these here, they're not all that far off from the other counties in the array. So, if we're truly looking at getting to median for all these offices, like we did with the employees, there's some of them that wouldn't get much of a raise. I guess I'm just asking why.
Gary, I think in comments, some of those offices are not full-time positions, possibly. Maybe it's, I think that was mentioned at the time.
The county attorneys is what I think Terry's referring to.
Yeah.
There's other positions though, where they
maybe combined with some other things or something like that.
And maybe just to keep. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I know
there's hard
to
measure workload, I guess, but that would make more sense.
Yeah.
Roger, I asked this before, I know, but, it came to our attention that we pay for county surveying as we go. Are we legally required to have a county surveyor?
Yeah.
We have to, no matter what.
Yeah.
You want that, Ray?
And basically, it just goes back to statute. And
I don't have mine.
I know Chris is real careful. Like, if somebody calls us, well, you deal with them as far as contractors. They'll go out and see if there's a corner that he can use. If not, then statute requires him to set one, and then he allocates that to his job as a county surveyor versus being retained as a surveyor to find the other two corners.
advance one.
That's as much as I know
about it. So we're set up the way we need to be still.
Yeah.
That's for
2018.
More discussion or?
I guess my thoughts are that I'm not going to disagree with a raise for the elected officials. I do think that we need to be conservative with what we're doing in the times that we're in. But I guess I'm agreeable that there's a raise for the elected officials. If we are going with what is offered at this point, I disagree with the Board of Supervisors getting that type of a raise to go along with it. I guess I'm looking at myself. I'm comfortable with where the Board of Supervisors are at as far as they're being. I really don't care about the other counties and what they're getting. And, you know, I've heard different people say, well, you know, as far as the Board of Supervisors go, yeah, we need to keep giving raises there so that we keep getting viable candidates. Well, crap, we don't get enough viable candidates the way it is. So, you know, if you give a small raise to the County Board of Supervisors is $24,000 or $25,000, that little bit going to make that much of a difference for the candidates that we're going to bring into the elections for the County Supervisors? I just don't think that we need to continue to incur more and more expense. The thing is that I see with what we have with valuations and farm economy and Beatrice 6, quite frankly, with different things that are going on, what I see is that it's fine that the elected officials are going to get more and more, and it's fine that we're paying more and more salary-wise, but what I see is I see a reduction in force coming to all of our offices. We've discussed it with Gus, and I see all of our offices having to think about this. As we spend more and more money, and it becomes harder and harder to raise taxes to run these offices, we're going to have to look at riffing people and positions. And I don't know how comfortable everybody is with that. I'm not real excited about people losing their positions, losing their jobs. I understand trying to stay in the array and not getting way out of whack here. But I also think that we need to consider the unintended consequences of the raises that we give also. So I guess that's my stump here. Whatever anybody else has to say, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with you. To a point, it's hard to spend money, more money. But I'll give you my case for one. On the road and bridge sides, I get many complaints. I've been to Adams, to every corner of the county. There's a thing out there called mileage, but I don't do it. And I think everybody else has made trips to places to look at certain sites for preparation, for building permits, for everything else. And it makes a difference as far as your location, where you're coming from to come here to meetings or whatever you got. So as far as leaving that, it just makes a difference probably of location more than anything as far as trip-wise, time-wise, everything else, what you have to do, where you have to go. In the large scheme of things, it's minuscule as far as I look at it. So that's why I would like to leave the resolution as proposed for all elected officials.
Anybody else?
We visited before, too. I was talking to Gary And, I mean, we do have to keep in mind NACO, for lack of a better term, is a bargaining unit for county officials, elected people. They're, you know, they're the ones that we give money to, and they're the ones that are going to try to make things look good for county officials, the same as FOP tries to do that for the police or any other negotiating body. Looking at this stuff from a few weeks ago, I mean, we're still in the array of things. It's just NACO saying that we should raise the bar and raise the pay for everybody, and they make a new medium. It's kind of like CIR. You guys know my opinion on that. There's always an upward spiral. I've never seen, as the economy goes back down, that the spiral ever comes back down. It goes up and stays. But, I mean, looking at these, we do need to move some. I just don't know how much yet. And I apologize, I missed Friday while you all talked about this, so I'm...
Well, no, I, one thing I forgot to bring up was, too, we came forward with this resolution that day, okay? Part of what we had with discussion, and Roger confirmed this, was we can make amendments to this resolution. Part of what it was easier for Don and everybody else, then we here had numbers to look at, and you could see where that type of proposal, what the dollar amounts and everything was going to be set at. As we talked to Roger and we asked several times that day, then is this the one we vote on? If we don't pass it, we don't pass it, or what? No. Anybody can make amendments to this. If we don't pass this one, we can make amendments and change this, but there can be amendments made to this to make any adjustments to those. This is more of a guideline so that you can look at those numbers and see where they would come out at.
And I think, Eric, that, you know, the Don had put together like three different lines, if you will, and basically sort of some exchange between the elected officials and the board. This is kind of the middle ground, if you will. and again, what everybody's saying is absolutely, you know, is correct. Yeah, other than I would caution you that NACO does not represent us.
They don't, but you know what I mean. I mean, they don't represent us, but...
Well, no, and again, here's, and not to be critical of anything, but sometimes, and I will say this from looking at the board and watching you folks work over the past 7 years, you are very frugal, you're very conservative. We don't have a lot of fluff in the budget. So anytime you try to catch up, and again, I'm not being critical of that. That's just good management. But at some point, as the statement was made, you want to keep the best and brightest that you have out there working for you so they don't run to Lincoln. I mean, and it, under the category there, Gage County is a category 4 under the analysis, which is, and I don't like the word, but it's a commuting county. We have a lot of people when you're this close to Lincoln that will go to Lincoln and work for the 35-40 miles that it takes to get there. That has an impact as far as the salaries in town if you want to keep people here working in town. And I, you know, you guys are all employers, you understand that. But I think what after the discussion, it was like basically what they came up with was what's before you as a starting point. And again, as opposed to the higher one, which is still within the array, and quite frankly, I think, I don't know if it was Lori or whoever, but basically, at the end of the 4 years, if you adopt the resolution as presented, you will be at what NACO is recommending for the midpoint as of today. So it's, nobody thinks that you're, you know, we're not, you're helping the same effort you did 4 years ago. You jumped it up a little bit the first year to try and catch up.
And it's actually still below the median, I see.
It is. And, you know, we can get tied up into all the little things like Patty indicated like, between Seward and Gage County, the number of parcels. Well, that's what her offices look at, the number of parcels the assessor has to deal with. You know, with like and that would have an impact with the treasurer also, with like Diane Wells at the district court, the number of cases she deals with. And those are up significantly. And again, that's not a pleasant thing. I mean, I don't like it. Guess that's a direct relation to what he has to deal with and the board with the jails, et cetera. Our numbers continue to rise. And I know Gary was talking about at what point do, you know, if we have to cut back. When you cut back services. There is no other way to look at it. The public does not want that. And, I mean, they don't want to pay more taxes, but they don't want less services. Galen's got the same, you know, responsibilities with keeping the roads open, in which you guys have done a great job this year as far as catching up with all the allotments. And that's – but it costs money. But, again, it's services, and that's what the public wants. So I just, you know, throw the 2 cents in that I think that's a reasonable offer. And I know that sounds horrible for the guy that's on top as far as the money. But that's, you know, the reasons are there. Gus and I are 24/7, 365 days a year. If I'm not doing it, somebody, you know, one of my deputies is here covering it. And that does take a lot. And neither one of us can be part-time. I don't, you know, two of my colleagues that are on that array are part-time. They have private practice on the side.
And what we end up in 4 years is what the medium is now. And 4 years from now, what will be the medium? But we'll be clear back to 4 years prior to that. So I think what we're doing here and the recommendations are very reasonable. Do any of us want to spend more money or have? No, but we have to be fair to our employees, and we have to be fair to our people who are running for office and who are serving, and I think this is very fair.
Don, what did we do the last 4 years? What percent increase? Do you remember? Or?
First year, I think it was four, right around four, and then three, two and a half, and three.
I'll make
sure. She's looking for that, Roger.
I think there was a year it bumped down to 2.5% in there someplace.
Three and two, and then four the beginning. And
it was 4, 2, 3, and 2?
Yeah, and I think at that time Matt indicated he knew we were low and they would try to catch up the following resolution, you know, the next 4 years. But that was that.
Gary had it.
Yeah. Oh. If the resolution is as it is now, in order to what we do, procedure is if there's an amendment put forward, we vote on the amendment.
Correct.
And then if that motion amendment second passes, then it becomes part of the resolution. Correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
Byron.
Terry.
I would like to make a motion to approve resolution number
18-01
for the wages for the county officials as presented in the printout we have here, and setting the wages for the next, not this year, but for the next 4 years for elected officials in Gage County.
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Juergens and a second by Hill. Anybody else want to make comments? I want to make a few comments, too. Go
ahead. Just one question for Roger. With this motion being in place, now we have to vote on this motion, and there's no chance for amendments.
You can amend the motion.
You can make an amendment to the motion that's on the floor. You get a motion and a second.
Okay.
And then you would have discussion to follow on that amendment, proposed amendment. Okay. Then vote on the proposed amendment.
Before you vote on
the main resolution. Correct.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay. I just got another couple comments to make, I guess. I think the people, we did a salary survey for all the employees of the county. And some of them that were below the minimum, we brought up to the minimum. And there were some that were above the top end, and we held their steady. The rest of the employees, we gave a 2.5%.
2%.
The rest of the employees got a 2% rate pay increase if you were between the minimum and the maximum on that salary survey or whatever. Somewhere along the line, we will, if you, I guess, use the NACL survey. I understand why they do the surveys. If you use the NACL survey and look at those, if you're behind, you will generally always be behind unless you take a so-called more of an increase at some point in time. Me, I'm not going to vote for the 6.5%. I think 3, 3, 3, and 3. That comes from me. Everybody has to make up their own mind. I realize where we're going to do to get to the point. For me, with the farm economy and the other things out there, that's just too much of an increase. I could support a 3, 3, 3 all the way through. And some of you, I've talked with you before on that. I would, if this passes, I'm fine with it passing too. I can't, I don't have a problem with it. It does get us closer to where NACO makes recommendations or whatever. We're also negotiating with the FOP right now, and there's different figures in there that we're going to maybe end up with or not end up with and stuff. And part of our negotiations with them, whether we like it or not, they will look at what we set these salaries at. I'll just tell you that. That's good or bad, right or wrong, that doesn't matter. But same way with the employees. I probably won't vote for that one, but that's me for the resolution there. Anybody else, any comments?
We tried, like you said, we tried to be fair with all the employees, bringing, if you're below the minimum, it was raised to the minimum. Otherwise, and if you're at the maximum, you got no raise this year.
No raise.
As the employee, we still work for the county. I really think we ought to look at the public officials, the elected officials, very similar to what we do to the employees. I mean, and Roger, you are at the top. If you look at a raise, though, there are positions just because they're paid more. You may be lower than where you should be just because of the type of work you do. I mean, we realize law, there's a lot of money there. but we see those bills as we pay our other attorneys. But I would kind of echo what Myron says. I'd like to kind of mirror or be very close to mirroring what we did for the rest of the employees.
Okay.
Gary?
I'd like to propose amendment to the resolution. As far as the County Board of Supervisors salaries, I propose a 1.5% increase for all 4 years for the county supervisors. Is my motion.
Your proposed amendment. We have a motion for a proposed amendment for the Board of Supervisors at 1.5% increase. Do we have a second? Do we have a second? Otherwise, it'll die for lack of a second, right? No second? Then that amendment, motion for that amendment, dies. Any other discussion? Any other amendments? Otherwise, we're going to go forward with the resolution because that's what we have, correct?
Just one other thing, as Don pointed out the last meeting, you're kind of under the gun. You got to make a decision.
We'll stay here.
You're going to be here for a while. And I just point that out because the public may not understand. This is one of those things you can sleep on.
We don't have nothing else on the agenda. I thought we had a really, I told somebody this morning, we have a really short agenda. This won't take long. And I says, every time I think that, it doesn't end up that way. It'll take a while. Yeah, but this isn't a thing. I just want everybody to know, this isn't something that this board takes lightly. There's been a lot of discussion amongst ourselves and amongst committees and other things. And this isn't something that we take lightly. This is important for the next four years of the election for everybody involved and stuff. And I think this board has done that a lot of times on a lot of things in this county. When we start talking money or dollars or buying equipment like we did with the cat graders and stuff, this board sits down and I think they do a very good job of making good, sound decisions that are fiscally responsible for the county. And that's what we're doing here again. And it puts it in a little bit of different light when it's you that you're trying to say, well, I'm going to give this raise to, because I think generally the public or the people out there, they don't like to make that decision. They don't want to come out and say, well, I'm worth that much more. There are people out there, but I think generally as a whole, the public doesn't like to say I'm worth that much. They take a more conservative approach. And I think that's what we're doing here as a board. We've had some good discussion. One way or another, we're going to stay here today till we pass this. So we will have some more discussion. So.
And this proposal does keep us below the midpoint throughout it. With that said, I second the motion. Can I make an amendment?
Yes, you can. Right, Olin. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, he can make another.
Anybody, even if he seconded amendment. The original motion, he can make an amendment.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would move to amend it so that the county board changes from 6% on the first year to 3% and stays that way throughout the 4 years.
From 6.5% to 3%, because right. this proposal is at 6.5% right. the first year. Okay.
It would be 3% for the four
for
years.
For the county board.
Yep.
Just for the county board.
Just for the county board. Everything else stays
I'll
the same.
I'll second that.
All 4 years, though? Is that what you said?
Yep. I'll second
okay,
that.
Okay, we have a motion by Hill and a second by Beyer. So now we can have discussion.
Myron, one thing to add. You hit most of the points. One thing that I did want to say that I didn't say earlier, this sets the salaries for 4 years, and it's not flexible. It's not like you can get 2 years into it and then make a change to it. We have to set the salaries for these elected officials this year for the next 4 years, and there's no adjusting right. to those in between now and the next election cycle.
There are a few counties that do, and NACO recommends for certain areas to do a CPI, a cost of living increase for some of the farther out years. I see the biggest risk we always do on this is we don't know 2 years from now necessarily where the economy is going to be at, what's happening. If the economy is picking up and growing at a 4 or 5% or a 1%, we don't get to take that into account with this resolution we're doing. This is setting those at a flat 3% in those years out there, which the last 4 years it worked out pretty good where we were at. Now, 4 years from now or 3 years from now particularly, if the economy keeps going along like it has and it starts picking up more steam, this 3% may be low in 4 years.
Yeah, right now the CPI is, 1.5, I believe? 1.5 or 1.6?
Okay. Yeah. Well, then if we did that, then it'd be less than this. See, yeah, no. Okay, we do have an amendment to the resolution. We need to vote on that first. And the amendment was to set the all 4 years to set the Board of Supervisors salary at a 3% increase each of the 4 years. Any more discussion on that? If not, we'll vote. Vote. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in favor with Jorgens voting no.
That was just setting the. That was just changing the supervisors, not all the elected officials.
Right, correct? Not all the elected officials.
Myron, one point of clarification. When you were talking about the raises that the employees of the county got, we raised those people up to the minimum or to the midpoint?
Minimum
or midpoint?
Oh.
If they were below the minimum, we raised them.
If they were below the minimum, they got brought up to the minimum.
To the minimum.
To the minimum.
Which would be the minimum most likely in 4 years also. It would be below the minimum.
It could be below the minimum again in 4 years if it depends on how things play out, but it very easily could be. Yes. If the growth in the economy or whatever is faster, growth in the other counties that we surveyed, that we used for that survey, if their growth is faster than our growth is, our minimum in 4 years will be below it again. The elected officials talk.
I don't know why not.
Yeah, I don't know why not.
Yeah, it's basically a public meeting.
It's public meeting, yeah. Come on.
Absolutely.
As long as you're talking on this, come on up, Patty.
Basically, I'm just going to say that I think we looked at this, Roger, and me and Don and Lori and everything, and what we had brought to the board on Friday to you guys I thought was fair. We weren't going to the top, and we, at the end of the day, we are responsible for our office. Our employees are very, very important, but at 5 o'clock they can walk out of here, and they do a great job for me, but there's a lot of sleepless nights during protests. There's a lot of things that come up, I'm sure, in Roger's office. Ultimately, we're responsible for everything that happens. And I look at some of the city salaries. I've looked at some of the schools and things. My education and the assessors, I have to have continuing ed. I have to have passed a test. We have 60 hours of continuing credit that we use. I feel like the 40 years I've been here, even with the pictometry, I lost a lot of night's sleep because I'm one that I thought, do we need this? Do I want this? You know, and as I went forward, I really took a lot to heart and really studied what I thought it could do for us. And it did. And you have to move things forward. And, you know I talked to Gary because I said, do I go for this? You know, then I went to Omaha and looked at some of the things that moved us forward. And I think Lisa's using it now, and those are things. But I just feel that I don't think we're asking for anything out of the ordinary. I know what Seward got yesterday. Their starting wage is at $67,000. And, you know, I know other counties that probably are not that high, but Marilyn is a very good assessor, and she's one that I really go off on. She's very studious of what she does with her mapping and things that I followed, and she's not going to retire, but she's a very good assessor. You know, if people want these jobs, you know, if, you know, they'll apply for them. I think probably a lot of it is maybe not always the salary, but insurance is a big portion, and I appreciate what we have here. But bottom line is, just because I walk out the door at 5 doesn't mean that I don't lose some sleep at night and everybody, and doesn't mean that I don't care a great deal for this county. I love my job. There's days that I don't, and there's days that I'm sure all the elected officials feel the same. But I think we've put a proposal forth, you know, with Terry looking at it and everybody and John, and I thought we were being what we felt was fair without asking for the top of everything. So that's just my the take on it. So,
hey, Patty, question. Mm-hmm.
No, Patty, thank you for bringing up the health insurance, too. The part of this plan is, or part of this resolution is, in which it's been the last 4 years and probably more than that, is that the county is paying for the monthly single premium paid for county health and medical plan that's being offered to all county employees.
That's the same as what it's been for several years.
Yeah.
There was,
yeah,
prior to probably a couple of resolutions, elected officials had full family health insurance. And that was removed.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s and 80s, they could pull family.
Yeah, but it was removed probably 8 years ago, 12 years ago, maybe. They removed the full family. So that was the only change to the insurance.
I guess the only thing that's left that I wonder about is if, you know, maybe years 3 and 4, it is the price index instead of a percentage. If that, you know, makes it a little bit more reasonable, flexible. Or I guess, it makes it more flexible one way or the other, but it does reflect what is happening.
You do run a risk there if, yep, you know, if the economy goes as it has lately, then we're going to be pretty much similar, you know.
Yep.
If the economy starts picking up and the CPI gains steam, you could be less than what that would be in year 4, 3, or 4, or whatever. Next year, it's probably, we're going to be
close,
similar to this year next year, you'd think, but you never know. You don't, yep, know. There's so many things going on that you don't know. You have the tax plan and everything. I mean, it's all a whole lot of things, so
Myron,
we don't have control over that.
If we did go with CPI on something like that, if there was an amendment for that, I think we would almost have to have a minimum maximum like what Lancaster County did. I think they set 1.5 and 2.5, but I would say something more like 2 and 4 is what I would think you would, if we were going to do something like that. Because you wouldn't want to have the risk of either being at 1.5% for the elected officials' sake, and you also wouldn't want to be at 5.5 or 6% for every year, even if the economy is measuring that.
Yeah.
I think one of the things NACO tried to do, everybody wrestles with using subjective analysis, you know, emotion, you know, we've got good people, you want to reward them, you want to keep them, okay. They tried to come up with using the valuations and the population as their two primary criteria to get some kind of objectivity to it. But again, it depends on what category you get placed in.
you know, and we know that anybody that's served on like the school board or something, it's how you build the array, who you get compared to. And within each department or each agency, they got different criteria that really set your workload. You know, our office is the caseload that we deal with, but that doesn't take into account the coroner's calls, the inheritance tax worksheets that we get to do, the planning and zoning, and all the other agencies we work with. With Don, it's virtually everything else that the rest of us don't do. And that makes it tough to compare us to a given county, because each of us are unique.
I will say one thing. NACO, when you talk about NACO survey was, I think, the attorney from NACO set in on it, but it was actually made up of supervisors, other officials, all of those people from the different parts of the state came together. They were the committee. So it wasn't NACO sitting in Lincoln at the board of directors. It was actually our peers that worked on this study. That's who they had to do the study.
Myron, you do have Lenhart apparently wants to make a comment.
Well, you got
to come forward and identify yourself.
Come on up here and we'll put you on mic, you bet. No, you got to be up here, yeah. Yeah.
Well, Lenhart Fritzen, 29813 South 120th Road. You guys is talking here all the time, and really, we're completely on the wrong deal. It should be dollar increase instead of percentage. You'd like the low guys, that's, you need them small guys. Well, I was on the co-op board. And then the manager, you know, you go by increases. Well, look at the dollar he gets. Okay. So he gets a big dollar increase, and the guy that you need with the scoop, he don't get very little. And so it really should be dollar-wise. I mean, you know, you take 6% and you take a $80,000 job, and then look at the little guy down below, what he's getting for an increase. It's kind of discrimination, I think.
Well, Lenhart, we're looking at we've got percentages, say, on just on our sheets here in one column. We've got the actual dollars on the other side. So we are talking the actual dollars just for breaking it down and how we move it around. It's easier to just talk about it in percentages, but we are looking at the actual dollars.
Now, do they all get the same dollar increase?
Other than two offices, yes. It's all the same dollars right now. Other than now.
But it still goes by percentage.
Well, it's just easier to say how we're going to adjust it in percentage. But other than the amendment to the motion now, the supervisors will be a lesser increase than the other elected officials.
Now, how is it? You're going up the line, going to take a decrease in wages according to what the supervisors is getting. Now, right?
Well, my pay in another year from now will be either $0 from the county or whatever they pay up there, which will be definitely a cut if I'm fortunate enough to be elected. Yeah.
So, which is $12,000.
So, yeah, you could really have a discussion up there, but we're not. We're having the discussion here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a few other questions, but you're in this session. I just wanted to bring that in to me. The lower guy, what you need, he isn't getting enough increase according to the top pay. I'm always for the little guy, I guess. So where you going? I've got
thank
some
you.
Other stuff to
no, thank you. Thank you, Lenhart.
Yeah. Myron, is there anybody else is there anybody as far as the board goes that wants to know? Because on the spreadsheet, it does have. They don't have it. Don does have broke down what the dollar increase is from year to year for the salaries. if what Lenhart's saying, I mean, if what he's bringing up is something that we want to hear, the number is there.
Yeah.
Well, the increase for clerk, assessor, clerk of the district court, registrar deeds, and treasurer, first year would be $3,831.01. which, like I said before, equates to, if you take 2,080 hours, it's $1.84 increase per hour. The next year, $1,883.09. That comes out, if you base it like we figure our employees, 2,080 hours, that's a 91-cent increase. The next year would be $1,939.58. That equates to a 93% increase. And the fourth year was $1,997.77, and that equates to 96-cent increase. For the sheriff, the first year would be $4,756.36. That would be a $2.29 per hour increase. Second year, $2,337.94. That would be $1.12. The next year, $2,408.07. That'd be $1.16 an hour. And $2,480.32, that'd be $1.19 an hour. For the attorney, $5,746.22 for the first year, which equates to $2.76 an hour. Next year would be $2,824.49, equates to $1.36 an hour. The next one would be $2,909.22, which equates to $1.40 an hour. And the last year would be $2,996.50, and that equates to a $1.44 an hour increase.
And that's using a 40-hour...
That's using 2,080 hours, the same as when we compute our employees' figures. There's, if anybody wants them, that's the everyone, yellow tape band that I...
Which, admittedly, the elected officials work more than 40 hours a week.
Yes. Are there any more amendments? Otherwise, we have a resolution. We have a motion for the resolution. Any other amendments? If there are no other amendments, we will vote.
Okay, so now you're voting on the original resolution.
We're voting on the resolution with the amendment.
To 3% for the county board. Okay. All right.
Vote. Four in favor, Jurgens Hill, Byers, and Tiemann, and against Dorn and Lytle. So the motion, the resolution passes 4-2, and Bauman absent. I was worried it was going to end up in a 3-3 tie and we were going to be back at this. Good enough.
And I do think maybe the next time around, if I'm part of this way, I think maybe we do use the CPI for the last couple of years. Some, I mean, I think it'll be close, but...
I like the fact you brought up that point. It maybe should have been this time, maybe not. You know, 4 years ago, we kind of, I mean, you could kind of look at the economy and see that it wasn't going to just take off. There was enough things and enough issues going on there that we weren't going to just grow a lot. This year, I mean, at this time, I don't know. You're setting,
who knows?
The last one, you're setting 4 years out, and We could, we might not. I don't know. They
I think, like Gary said, though, it's a good idea to have a
cap.
A spread there
spread,
where it doesn't get too low and it doesn't get too high.
There are two counties that I received resolutions from that did do a certain percent. Like one of them was 1.5% plus the COLA. So, and not no less than a 0%. So they had some
things in there.
Things in there. So there is some resolutions we can look at too down the road if you want to do that.
Just one quick reminder, our next committee meeting will be again on Friday. It will be the Friday on the...
Which one are you looking at?
The 12th of January. So, because Monday that 15th is a holiday, I think, Martin Luther King or something like that. So we will not have committee meetings on that Monday. We will have them again on the Friday. If not, anything else for the good of the order?
Guests said you wanted to have a closed session.
That's it.
I don't, unless somebody else does. Does guests need one?
You probably have one.
Oh, okay. Just a minute then. We don't have it on the agenda, but Gus has requested a closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for protection of the needless injury to the reputation of an individual. And entertain a motion
an emergency existed. Because otherwise it's not on the agenda.
Okay, due to an emergency that is existing, we did not have a closed session on the agenda, but we're adding that closed session. At 10:05 on the clock, so I need a motion to go into closed session.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion by Juergens and a second by Hill. Vote. 5 in favor with Lytle voting no. So we're going to close session.
Fine,
you
got
it. Yeah. Man on here.
You're in charge of this.
Yeah. We don't need it.
We don't need it.
Oh, ready? Yeah. Okay, like I wonder myself sometimes.
But we entertain a motion to come out of closed session at 10:30 on the clock.
So move.
Second.
A motion by Byer, seconded by Lytle. Vote.
Good job.
5 in favor with Thiemann voting no. I keep telling you guys, one of these days we're going to end up with a vote not to come out of closed session, you know.
One way.
So, anything else for the good of the order? If not, we will adjourn at 10:31 on the clock.